You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
It's today's most interesting thing in tech from Nicholas Thompson, editor-in-chief of Wired. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from TD Ameritrade. Meet their newest trading platform, thinkorswim web. It has all the essential tools and strategies in a streamlined interface. No download necessary. thinkorswim web. Trading streamlined. Visit tdameritrade.com/thinkorswimweb to get started.
The most interesting thing in tech? The House Subcommittee of the Judiciary on Antitrust has just released its long-awaited report on the tech giants. And it's brutal. I've read the first 100 pages. It's about 450 pages long. And the tenor of it isn't quite captured, I don't think, in the news stories that have come out about it. It's really, really harsh on the effects of the power of the tech companies, the way they distort markets, all kinds of things. The general critique is one that I've talked about before. Facebook should not have been allowed to acquire WhatsApp and Instagram, that it has used its monopoly position in social media for negative effects on consumers, on the news industry, on the way democracy works, that Google has used its dominant position in search to become a gatekeeper, that it's siphoned traffic from other websites to itself, that it's used its position in search to advance its other products, that it's used its dominant position in advertising to take money out of that market, which should go to other competitors, that Amazon has used its dominant position as an online retailer against the merchants who sell on its own platform, that it's used its internal data to advantage its own products, and that Apple has used its near monopoly position or duopoly position to extract excessive rents through its app store. But I also want to focus on one particular idea in the report because I think it's really important and interesting. So antitrust law traditionally has focused on price. A company can have a monopoly, but if it uses the monopoly to raise prices unfairly, in a way that disadvantages consumers, well, that's a violation of the law. That's the traditional, or at least the last 50 years, interpretation of antitrust law. And of course, the tech companies don't violate antitrust law in that sense. You don't pay to use Facebook. You don't pay to use Google. Amazon is famously cheap. But there's a new idea and a new spin on that in this report. And it's an idea that has become much more prominent the last few years, and it's that they're other values that need to be included when you talk about cost to consumers, not just price. And in fact, in this report, there's a lot of talk about privacy. There's a very specific argument made about Facebook, which is that Facebook uses its monopoly power not to charge you, certainly not to charge you unfairly, but to degrade your privacy. And because they have no other competitors, they are not forced to protect your privacy. The argument is that if there were a competitive market for social media, other platforms would provide alternatives. They would create social media platforms where you could be certain that your privacy is protected. But because Facebook doesn't have any competition, they don't have to. And if that general interpretation of consumer harm were adopted, it would really change the game on antitrust. I've got another 350 pages to go, but it is a brutal, eviscerating, pretty damning report. That's the most interesting thing in tech. See you tomorrow.
Get more great stories from Wired in our daily newsletter. Sign up at wired.com/daily.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.